Sunday with Miriam on RTE Radio 1 with It's for Women. The car insurance with extra benefits like personal accident cover.
Well, we begin this morning. On July the 8th, 1985, Father Niall Molloy's body was found badly beaten on the bedroom floor of his close friends, Richard and Teresa Flynn, after a high society wedding at their home, Kilcoursie House, near Clarin, County Offaly. It was a story that would grip the country, but to this day, questions remain unanswered as to what happened that night and why. A two-part documentary, The Killing of Father Molloy, examines the circumstances surrounding his death, the second part which can be seen on RT television tomorrow night at 9:30. Father Niall Molloy's nephew, Bill Maher, is spokesman for the Justice for Niall campaign, and he joins me now. Bill, good morning to you.
Good morning, Miriam.
Thanks so much for being here.
Thank you for having me.
It was a fascinating documentary and hundreds of thousands of people watched, a massive audience. First of all, tell me about your uncle Niall.
Well, my uncle was, I often describe him as the baby brother and the next generation up, and he was the favourite, not only with his brothers and sisters, but with all of us. He kept in constant touch with us. If I have cousins in Cork, a sister in Kilkenny, if Niall was anywhere in the country, he always dropped in. I'm in a shop in Dublin, Niall would pop into the shop and say hello if he was in Dublin. He married most of us, including myself. And in fact, it was quite funny when I got married. It was the first wedding Niall had performed for after the Vatican changes, and he just left the army. And we sort of giggled our way through it because we didn't know what to do, you know.
Yeah.
But no, he was a lovely man, not very gregarious. He moved in horsey circles, but like the stress that was show jumping, it was his big passion, not racehorses, as a lot of people have said over the years. He wasn't a gambler. He drove a second-hand car, and he wasn't pretentious. But he was very good with the family and kept in constant touch.
Now, let's go back to that weekend, that night. What do we know happened?
Well, my memory, which is just like it was yesterday, was at about 8:10 in the morning, I got a phone call from my brother to say Niall was dead. We didn't know. The details were sketchy. I was shocked. I rang my mother. She was in bits. And there was just vague things about there being an accident. And because we knew he was so involved in horses, we assumed, oh, he must have fallen off a horse, you know, because he was a fit man, 52, big build, fit. And various phone calls went on between the family, and it started to get even more bizarre. My sister rang the Flynns and asked to speak to Teresa, and a lady came on the phone who she thought was Teresa. And it turned out Teresa was in hospital, so was somebody else. But they said, oh, we'll ring you back. There was a bad accident. Nothing else.
Tell me a bit about the relationship between your uncle Niall and the Flynns, the couple Richard and Teresa.
It was no secret that they'd been friends for years. They went on holidays to France. Niall had horses on the land. We all knew it. Richard and Teresa often went to stay in Castle Coote in the parochial house, they visited my family home in Roscommon with my. So they were just good friends, you know. And they had a shared interest in horses, financial interest.
And he was a curate in Castle Coote.
He was.
Yeah. So whatever happened in the Flynn's bedroom that night, your uncle Niall, he was left lying there for some time before the Gardaí were alerted. And when they did arrive, I think Richard Flynn immediately claimed responsibility, didn't he? What did he say had happened, how your uncle had died?
Well, we didn't know what he said initially. I mean, he said it to my uncle Billy that I hit him. Dr. O'Sullivan told my brother that there'd been a political row downstairs, so we were getting garbled stories. But we had faith naively in the justice system at the time that the full story had come out. I mean, Richard Flynn was allowed to leave the country on holidays and everything before he was even charged. He wasn't arrested or brought into custody, which one would have expected maybe. He then got just charged with manslaughter and assault about a year, some months later. We still didn't know the full story that was to emerge at the court case. The court case was a year later, and Richard Flynn gave testimony to say that there was a row over drinks. Now, I laughed out loud when I heard that, because Niall was not a drinker as such. If it was some of the other members of the family, I'd say maybe it could have happened. But Niall, in fact, he disliked excessive drinking.
Now, the state pathologist at the time, Bill, was Dr. John Harbison. He arrived the following day. And what had he to say following the post-mortem?
Well, what I didn't discover until about 3 years ago is that he did a handwritten post-mortem report on the day itself, a preliminary post-mortem report, and he said that death was due to head injury and not a heart condition. Now, that was never shown to the family, but presumably the judge had access to it. And he said the same in the actual post-mortem, full post-mortem report.
And actually, before we went on air here this morning, you actually showed myself and my producer, Cora, a photograph of your uncle's body, and he looked incredibly badly beaten.
He was. I mean, Dr. O'Sullivan, whose testimony varies, made a statement that at the trial that he knew Niall, he was friendly with Niall, but he came in, there was a blanket over his face, and he said, "I didn't know how he died until I lifted the blanket." So visually he knew straight away, but he wasn't questioned any further on that.
And the trial itself, because this is like so multi-layered and complicated, so I don't want to lose my listeners. The trial itself collapsed, didn't it? Because they basically implied that he had a heart condition.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And I'd done a little bit of law when I did my degree. And I was amazed when Judge Rowe said, "I have no hesitation," because judges don't normally come out with words like that, you know, normally a little bit more vaguely in legalistic terms. But he said, "I have no hesitation."
How did your family, your mom, obviously, Niall's sister, respond to what happened and the fact that no one has been found guilty of your uncle's death?
Well, a month
after. He was found not guilty, in other words.
He was found not guilty, yeah. He walked out a free man. And then a month later, the inquest was held and it found that he died as a result of a blow to the head.
I know, which is completely different.
Completely different.
Now, after the inquest, Richard Flynn's son, David, did make a brief statement to the media. I think it's the only time any of the Flynn family spoke. What had he to say at that time?
Well, it's what he didn't say, really. I think that's in the documentary. People can draw their own conclusions to that. But, I mean, it was on RTE News and it was a bit bizarre.
What's fascinating about tomorrow night's second part of the doc is that apart from Richard Flynn's statement in the early hours of Monday after Niall had been killed, it remains the only account of how and when Father Niall died. But in tomorrow night's episode, I think we're going to see the bedroom reconstructed to the exact specifications from Garda drawings, and a number of crime scene specialists are brought together to examine the evidence again. Can you give us a sense, Bill, of what their take is likely to be tomorrow night? I know we want people to watch it, but the whole thing was reconstructed, wasn't it?
The whole thing was reconstructed and in very good detail. Sharon Lawless and her team did an amazing job to the extent that I got upset while I was being talking in the room. And so did my cousin. It's quite a small room. And when you stand in there and you look at the outline of the body on the floor and the blood, you wonder how it ties in with some of the statements that were made at the inquest, to be quite honest. I mean, people said they didn't see any blood in the room. That's quite obvious.
Well, you just showed me the photograph this morning. And
well, that's the actual room. You'll see tomorrow night is a very good reconstruction.
Of that.
Very, very accurate.
Now, it's so multi-layered. We also, I think, learned the extent of your Uncle Niall's business dealings with the Flynns. Did that surprise you? And, you know, the horses and there was an insurance policy. Tell us about all of this.
The horses didn't surprise us. I didn't know much about the land deals that was a bit of a surprise to the family. He also bought cattle but it was his first cousin who was involved in procuring them for him. And there's no reason for him to discuss it all with any of us anyway in any detail. But we did know exactly about the horses. My sister Felicity is involved in the horse world as well, and she knew the names of all the horses. And
what happened to the assets, for instance, to the horses, to the land after your uncle died?
No, that's a very good question. Very good question. And that's something. His six horses were in both their names, or registered in both their names. One horse was solely his own horse. And he'd said to my sister that he was going to do well on it and he hoped to sell it and maybe retire. The Flynn sold the horse in the RDS within 4 weeks of his death. They sold it at the horse show.
And then bizarrely, Bill, I mean, the Irish press, I think, disclosed the existence of an insurance policy on Father Niall's life, which named Teresa Flynn as his sister and next of kin. I mean, had your family known anything about this policy?
No. That came as a huge surprise. And it wasn't for big money, but a letter was written in, allegedly by her, which denied it and said the man is dead, and claiming the policy.
Now, you also learned of the extent of Richard Flynn's financial difficulties, didn't you? What did you discover?
Well, the revenue had taken a case against him for $126,000. And I believe he owed a similar amount to Barclays Bank at the time. That's all. In fact, it's. I have a lot more detail on my website, and I have court of press cuttings, which my cousin and uncle collected over the years. They were a great reference point.
There was an independent assessment of the case done in 2014. Did that help you and the family? Did it provide any answers?
You mean the cold case review?
Yeah.
Well, we weren't allowed to see a copy of it.
Why?
I don't know. There's a lot of whys in this case, Miriam, I'm afraid, and I'm still asking. But I believe it was a very good, comprehensive report, and we were never furnished with a copy of it. But I do know that in the concluding pages that they refer to it as a murder.
Now, you want, Bill, I mean, to be honest, your mum and your dad and your brother, I mean, they all died not that long after this terrible happening. You believe it almost destroyed your family, didn't it? The murder
it did,
of your
it
uncle.
Did, yeah, yeah. My mother was heartbroken. She was born in New York and she was reapplying for her American citizenship. She was so sick of what went on here. My brother, Ian, pursued it for years and all of us in the family would say that it led to his premature death at 52. In fact, they asked me not to take on the case then because they said that we don't want to lose a member of the family. But I felt I had to, for all their sakes, not just for Niall. And the parishioners who've been, still I'm getting emails saying, keep up the fight.
Father Niall's parishioners.
Yes, yeah, they're fantastic.
Now, the thing is, we do not know what happened. You want a commission investigation established, Bill, but what would you be hoping to gain from it that maybe you haven't learned in the past 36 years? I mean, we won't name anyone, but there are people alive who know what happened.
Indeed, there are. And I want them to be, if a commission of investigation is held, they're compelled to speak. They would not give any further statements. When they were interviewed by the cold case team. But a commission of investigation would mean that they are legally obliged to appear before it and talk. And then we might get truth and maybe justice. But we'll know the full story.
And have you asked for this to happen?
I'm sick of asking for it.
Different ministers, is it? Name
all the ministers over the years. The politicians are very interested when an election is coming up. But once they get their legs under the ministerial table, they don't want to even respond to a letter. You get the usual blah, blah. We'll respond in due course. Thank you for your letter.
It's still obviously an open and ongoing investigation for the Gardaí. Do you have confidence in their ability to solve it?
At the moment, I would say my relationship or our relationship with the Gardaí has been very good in the last few years. The Gardaí from before, no. But I'm disappointed that the Garda haven't responded to the GSOC findings. Into GSOC said there were shortcomings, there was files missing, all the forensic evidence is missing. The Garda headquarters have not responded to that report, which was critical of their handling.
They might still, as you say, you've more confidence now in their.
Well, I think the documentary that Sharna's worked on for 4 years will possibly spark a lot of more interest. I know I've had huge response and on social media, which is fantastic, really. But hopefully some politician, in all the social media reactions, there's been no clerics or no politicians passing any comment, which is quite interesting.
It's a fascinating documentary. And Bill, you've worked so hard on it. The second part goes out tomorrow night on RT1 television at 9:30. It's called The Killing of Father Niall Molloy. As I said, it was a huge audience last week, and I'd say it'll be even bigger tomorrow night.
I think people will find tomorrow night very interesting.
Bill, I hope you get justice for your uncle.
Thank you very much, Miriam.
It's wonderful you've kept fighting for him all these years.
Thank you.
Thanks so much, Bill, for coming in.
Not at all.
Mind yourself. We'll take a break.
Right.